One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Already Friends podcast. This is Allison.
And this is Kara.
Today we're going to be talking about nutrition mistakes that people commonly make and some that we have definitely learned from our own experience. But before we get into it, we are going to do a little catch up, share our peaks of the week, and then talk about nutrition.
Yes. What have you been up to this week? Anything exciting?
It was a very average week in Tulum. I pretty much just worked a lot. The weather was finally really good again, so I appreciated that because it makes walking beaches much easier when the roads are not flooded and full of mud. So it was an okay week. I'm finishing up a project, a freelance project for a client. And you know how when you're like in the middle of a project, it feels like the deadline can just be really far away? It has felt really far away for a long time, and now I'm like seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. But it's still far enough away that I'm like, okay, we got to do this final push. So last week, I feel like I got us to 90%, and I'm hoping tomorrow and Tuesday to just like focus, grind it out, get it done, because I want to check it off so bad because I have so many other projects that are calling to me right now that I want to work on. But I'm trying to promise myself that I finish this one project before I invite all of this other stuff in.
For sure. And that's going to feel so good once that's done.
That's definitely what's motivating me, is that feeling of satisfaction to check it off. But yeah, not much going on over here. How about you?
Same thing. Not too much going on. I have had a very St. Louis week. On Wednesday, I went to a dance class at Yes Honey. That was really fun. I'd been wanting to do that for a while. I did a hip hop class with my friend Morgan. I'd seen her go a bunch of times, putting it on her Instagram story. And I messaged her and I was like, next time you go, please let me know. And so we did a little choreography to a Meg Thee Stallion song. I don't remember exactly which one, but it was really fun. And definitely a great weeknight activity with friends. I feel like that's a super easy thing to do after work. And it was fun. I was smiling the whole time. It was good vibes. And then Thursday, went to the opening of this dart restaurant bar thing called Flight Club. That was really cool. It was like state-of-the-art darts, and it's all free, which I like. So you can just go and play darts and then have drinks. They have good cocktails, mocktails, a very wide selection. I'm still doing dry January. That was still in January, but it's February now. But I'm still doing it because I cheated by going to my cousin's 21st birthday in Nashville. So I'm like adding on a few days. So I had some mocktails there. And then, oh, I was cleaning out my closet this weekend. And a little announcement, if you're in St. Louis, myself and three other gals were doing a closet sale at Omen Coffee in Midtown on Saturday, February 8th. So if you're in town, all the details are on my Instagram, and we'll be raising money. We're donating 10% of the net profits to Omen. They have a community garden also in Midtown, and they're building that out. It's a brand new project. So we'll be donating to that. So it's going to be a good time.
Fun. I love that. Of course, getting the community involved, sustainable clothing, secondhand fashion, giving back to the garden.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that directly came from a New Wave sale. Probably like May 2020. I feel like you did something where it was net proceeds went to something like a domestic violence shelter or something. And I like thought of that when we were planning this. I'm like, wait, we need to do that and donate to their cause. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I did three of them like that.
Yeah.
And it's really hard. This is like me being transparent as a business owner. Once you start doing things like that, like it's different if you say you as like a person, you do a one-time event. If you open that can of worms as a business, it never stops. And then people perceive you as having so much extra funds. And they like, we started getting so many requests for like, fundraise this, donate a basket for this. Can you give money to this? And I'm like, bro, can you go ask Target? I'm like,
yeah.
I have 12 people on payroll. I am a small business. Like, we're barely getting by. Like, we're just trying to do our small part, and we are already a sustainable business. So I just stopped doing that because A, we couldn't really afford to, and B, then it just, like I said, opened a can of worms that I was like, this is too much, because then how do you decide? It's like, you want to help everyone. And now I'm just kind of behind the mission of like, we literally already do so much as a secondhand clothing business for sustainability, for the community. I'm like, that's my gift. Once I have a seven-figure business elsewhere that can donate and do other things, sure, but not at this time. But I love that for you. It's great.
Well, thank you. Yeah, super excited. I mean, that's pretty much all my updates. I think we can do peak of the week.
My peak of the week was meeting two new friends. I really feel like I manifested them. I was asking the universe, I told you guys last week, I needed good quality time with deeper conversations. And I met one really cool girl. She's from Minnesota. We just clicked instantly. And she even has a cockapoo as well. Aww. Like, come on now. And then Peaches and her dog were hanging out. It was like perfect. And I met this one guy who's from New York. He's a men's betterment coach. I'm sure he has a fancier title, but he works with men. And I really love that because I think women usually have a lot of people they can talk to about their mental health, but I feel for the guys, like I think men need to really hear that it's okay to feel their feelings and talk about them and seek support when they have too much on their plate. So we just had a lot of really good heart-to-hearts this week over pizza and coffee and juice and hanging out. So not much to report to you guys in this moment about it, but I just had some really stimulating conversations this week that I've been reflecting on and journaling about that I'm like, damn, it's kind of like a powerful behind the scenes week.
Wow.
Yeah. How about you?
Mine's way less deep. I'm like, talk about materialistic. My peak of the week is that my Dyson Airwrap finally came in the mail. So I'm like, what a switch up. But yeah, this is my big Christmas gift from Connor. And funny little side story, he gave it to me on Christmas. So I actually unboxed it on Christmas, but I opened it. And I guess the new air wraps, the new versions, are actually made for your texture of your hair. So I unboxed it and it said Dyson air wrap for curly and coily hair. And I was like, oh no. I was like, Connor, I love you, but you bought the wrong one. He's like, wait, what? No, curly, like it curls your hair. I was like, no, it's for like the texture. Like if you have curly or coily texture hair, he's like, no, what? Dang it. I'm like, to be fair, if you go on the website, it is not straightforward at all. It was very confusing. They have a straight and wavy Dyson Airwrap now, or the curly and coily. And my hair definitely falls under straight wavy. So I had to return it, reorder it. It took a whole month, but it's here. And I'm loving it. It's really sad because they're like $600, but it was definitely worth the hype. They are amazing. It like curls your hair with zero to minimal heat damage. So much volume. I've never had a fancy blowout at home, and I'm very happy.
Okay. Number one, stoked for you. That's goals. I want one so bad. Two, I'm with Connor. That's so confusing because I think you would see the box and think, I'm ordering the one that curls hair, not the one that just makes it wavy.
No, I was not even mad because I was like, no, I'm mad for you. Even when I was trying to order the return one, it was getting confused and it put in my cart again, a curly and coily one. I'm like, no, this is not straightforward at all. They need different brand messaging on their website because it was extremely confusing. And I did not blame Connor in the slightest because even I was getting confused and I knew which one I wanted. So I agree with that. Connor was not in the wrong, but it was a very sweet mistake.
Yeah, no, that's exciting. And now you have officially become a Dyson Airwrap girl.
I know. I really held out. I had a Revlon $20 round brush hot tool for probably 4 years. And now I've upgraded to the big leagues.
That's a big jump.
It is. It's almost too big of a jump. But if this provides anyone solace, McKenna has the shark style. I think that's around $300. And it's also amazing and works just as well. So if people are interested, there's that option as well.
I'll contemplate. I'm still on my, it's probably a $40 or $50 just
yeah. And with that wand. Tulum temp, it's probably very unpredictable with the hair.
Well, I was going to say this last week about my moped, but it felt unimportant. But while we're on the topic of hair,
yeah,
and I have you guys, let me just say that a huge downside of moped life is your hair. Like my hair over the last year, it always looks like shit all the time because I have to get on my moped every single day, you know? And even when I didn't have my own moped, I was renting a moped because I look at a lot of my content and I'm just disclaiming, guys, like I shower, I wash my hair, I brush my hair, but it makes it greasy, you know? Like it's hot here and you're wearing a helmet, smashing all of your hair down, and then it's making the ones like my bangs extra sweaty and greasy looking. So I'll like look cute leaving the house, walk outside, get on my moped, and then my hair is ruined in seconds. Like the picture I posted at the beach club or at the pool club yesterday, I'm like, I look so greasy. And I'm like, I literally showered and got ready that morning, but I had to take the moped. So lux living would be having a car here, because then you can actually like, and I can never wear a claw clip even.
Oh my God.
And I was very claw clip dependent.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like if you have it back there, the helmet's going to like smash it. You can't put it on. So I have to wear braids or wear it down. No messy bun, no high pony, no claw clip. Options are very limited. It's a struggle.
Well, one, luckily you rock the braids, can confirm. But two, maybe this is the $1 million idea, the no helmet hair helmet. Get into development.
Even the colors and the styles of helmets. Like, you know how I said there was a helmet shortage? So I have this ugly red helmet. I am not a fan of the color red. It is just, does not match my aesthetic at all. And so I have this cute black and white moped and this red helmet, and it just kills me. So then I had the idea. I was like, ooh, someone should open an aesthetic helmet store here, because I cannot be the only person here that is like, this is really killing the vibe.
Free idea. Whoever wants it.
And it's actually, okay, this is the last thing on it, but something about wearing a helmet is so humbling. It is hilarious. So I was at the gas station the other day. I saw this guy who's like, he makes a couple million a month. He's like a big guru, like hot, hot kid. I think he's probably like 25, sick Instagram. And me and my friend are like, oh my God, that's him. So the friend like says hi to him, and he's like standing there filling up his gas with his little helmet on. And it was kind of like one of those like never meet your heroes moment, because like in his helmet, I like took mine off because I was like, I can't be introducing myself in this helmet. Like you look so nerdy. It is so embarrassing. It's all of these grown, hot, attractive adults standing there in their little helmets looking at like kindergartners. It's hilarious. It's so humbling.
Dork alert.
Yeah. And your outfit, you know, like everyone's like wearing all these like cool, sexy outfits with like a little helmet on.
That's so funny. Okay. Anyway. Someone do it.
Sorry though.
I feel like maybe someone has done it, but that's so funny. Get them to Tulum. Right.
Yeah. Heads up if you guys are coming here, that's something to consider.
Okay. Listener peaks. Oh, here's a good one that relates to my week. Hannah said, reorganized and culled so much of my closet. Feels amazing to start the year fresh. 1000% agree. Spring cleaning came early for me.
And Jaden said, spending time with my friends before I move cross country. Aw, how bittersweet. I hope that the move goes well.
Eric said, flew to Arizona for a friend's wedding. I met a stranger in a dive bar and heard their life story. That's amazing. That's so already friends vibes. Absolutely love that.
And Kylie said, redoing our entire bathroom and making our house feel like a home. That's amazing. I'm sure it's going to look wonderful. As always, send in your peaks of the week on our Instagram story box every Monday at Already Friends Podcast.
All right, nutrition and the biggest mistakes people make with nutrition. We just want to preface this and say that, of course, everyone has different nutrition beliefs, diet preferences, etc. I feel like no person under the sun agrees on everything related to lifestyle, food, etc. But we're here to kind of just explore those ideas that can work for everybody. Maybe some of those tried and true tips that can be sustainable for eating well and thriving in 2025. But first, let's go into some of those biggest mistakes. Allison, what's one of the biggest mistakes either you see people doing or that you yourself made when you're kind of trying to figure out what works for you with nutrition?
A mistake I see a lot and have fallen victim of as well is following trends in nutrition that are popular. I went gluten-free for many years. I went vegetarian, then I went full vegan, then I went back to vegetarian, then I went pescatarian. Now I think I finally found my way to just eating whole foods. But like, good Lord, it took me so long to get here. Why did I have to try one of everything? Well, pretty much the only thing I didn't try was keto. And it's hard to know what is best for you without trying things. So I don't regret that I tried stuff because that's how you learn. But in the moment, sometimes you can have a warped perspective on if things are working or not. Like with the vegan diet, you guys know I was gung-ho about it. I truly thought I would be vegan for the rest of my life. But I just don't have enough nutrition knowledge to have done it correctly to sustain it for my health in the long run. And with the vegan diet, I still don't even have firm beliefs on whether it works or it doesn't work. Like, I truly don't know what's better for the planet because I originally did it because I thought not eating meat would be better for the planet and the animals. And while I still believe that and have a very hard time eating meat, I don't know if it's better for my health. And I've read the book Ishmael, which like changed my entire mind. And I highly recommend reading it before weighing in on this topic. But I didn't think I would ever eat meat again. And then I just started feeling so weak. My nails were breaking. My hair was falling out. Like I just like didn't have enough energy. And I tried so many ways to supplement and make up for that. And I just think I did a lot of damage to my body. And I didn't want to accept that. Like it was really, really, really hard for me to face that I maybe had to start eating meat again. So I looked into other things that I thought it could be. And sure, there could be a variety of factors. But yeah, just I feel like nutrition all around is so personal. And it's also dependent upon your other lifestyle factors. So it can be hard to pinpoint if a certain diet works for you or not, and how long you need to trial it out. Because I was talking to a few other people that had gone plant-based, and we all experienced the same thing where for the first year, 6 months to a year, we felt amazing. And then in time, we started to feel less amazing. And after doing some research, I think it's because when you first go vegan, you're cutting out a lot of shit. You're just eating better. You're eating more whole foods. So I attributed that to going vegan, but I don't know if it was that or not. And so I'm not sharing any of this to say go vegan, don't go vegan. The point is that I've started doing it because it was a trend. And the same reason I started going gluten-free was because, oh, I'm like, oh, this is what everyone, you know, circa 2015, everyone's going gluten-free. And I think at the end of the day, whole foods is just like the tried and true way. And you can eat within whole foods, whatever resonates with you, your beliefs, your goals, the whole thing.
Well, I just want to say thank you for being vulnerable. I know that's not an easy thing to share. And a lot of people can get really, people can think that you're bashing on what they do. And like we said, we're not bashing on what anyone does. This is why it's a very personal topic and everyone knows what works best for them. But I think a lot of people will appreciate your honesty and your experience.
I know. And I know it's so testy. And I have to say this because it's funny. I was such a strong vegan that one time I was getting really passionate about it on the podcast. This was probably what, like 2021, 2022. And we got like a 1-star because someone was like, Allison needs to like shut up about her vegan beliefs. Basically, it was like the summary. And I was like, no, you're right. You're right. So I did. I toned it down after that. So I took that constructive criticism and reflected on it and was like, you know, those are my beliefs and I don't need to put them onto anyone else. So thank you to that person for humbling me.
Oh my gosh.
Though it was hard to hear.
You're like, damn, really cut me up with that comment. But okay, well, I can share one. I mean, there's so many. I feel like I've come so far from, because really when you're learning about nutrition, it's kind of that post leaving home is kind of when you're first thrown out into the world to learn things, probably in college and on. And I feel like one of the biggest things for me was not eating enough. I feel like that's a really big mistake people make. And this was something that Grace Frisella on last year's physical wellness episode commented on. And we'll link that if you guys are enjoying this episode, head to the show notes and you can listen to that one with Grace. She talked about how people don't eat enough, especially women, and how chronic under eating can really just tank your metabolism and your energy. And so you might be thinking like, oh, I need to eat less so that when I burn calories, I'm burning a lot of fat. But when you under eat, your body just wants energy. So then it's going to start burning your muscle. So then your fat still stays. That's a very oversimplification, of course, but I definitely have found myself not eating enough protein. I guess for me, I'm specifically working on eating more protein and definitely find myself under eating in that realm. Because sometimes something I've been diving into and learning more about are hormone disruptors and how there's over 1,000 disruptors daily in our lives. Things in our food, our water, the air we breathe, our clothes, our skincare, all of these things mess up our hormones, and our bodies also go through natural hormonal changes. But with all of this, it does not mean that we have to suffer through it. And the good news is that there is a product out there to help. It's called Hormone Harmony, and they are a sponsor of the show. Hormone Harmony is a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for all women who are struggling with PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts, and low mood. Moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon, and there's a reason that it has over 30,000 positive reviews, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. So if you resonate with any of these symptoms, any of these issues, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ALREADYFRIENDS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code ALREADYFRIENDS to get your Hormone Harmony and start to feel more like yourself. Again, already friends at happymammoth.com for 15% off. Thanks to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring the show.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You know, in the past, if I just needed an easy dinner, I would just do some pasta and some marinara sauce and some Parmesan cheese. Like, definitely variations of girl dinner I've fallen victim to. And now, something that we'll talk about later on the episode, I really just try to focus on protein, healthy carb, vegetable, just a more balanced approach, and just make sure I'm eating enough of all those.
I definitely agree on the protein thing, and I want to fixate on this for a second. I was at a group dinner the other day with a mixed variety of people, all ages, backgrounds, whatever. And we were talking about how, because of the movement in the early 2000s where women were supposed to be like so thin and eat salads, and it's like the Baywatch era, like supermodel, super low rise jeans, there's been this gendering of protein, essentially. Like, men are supposed to eat protein and be strong and muscular, and women are supposed to eat salads and fruit. And women actually need a lot of protein. And so I think that we were kind of brainwashed through media for a really long period of time to think that protein was like for men. Even if women were eating protein, it was supposed to be, you know, like white chicken, like very, you know,
egg whites.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And now you have all of these women who like have a protein deficiency and it's causing a lot of problems for their health. And in the same reason that I wanted to be vegan was to do the right thing and quote, like, you know, I'm in all areas of life. I feel like we're just trying to be the best we can be to ourselves, the planet, our family, friends, whatever. Now I'm like trying to eat protein in the way that's like the most humane and get grass-fed beef and free-range eggs and all of that. But it is, it's so hard. And I want to eat clean meat, not just, you know, dirty protein just to get protein in. I want to still eat whole foods. And in summary, I guess it's just like, it is hard. And like, nutrition is kind of complicated. I think at a base, it is easy, but we have been bombarded with too much information and overcomplicated it. Similar to what we were saying last week with physical wellness, where really you just got to move your body, but we are like, how do I do it? What formula do I follow? And then that leads to us being paralyzed, analysis by paralysis. And I think nutrition can kind of be the same, where it's like, do this or don't do that. And then it changes 6 months later. And that's overwhelming. And then if you follow one thing for a little bit of time and then you don't even know if it works and you switch, it can be hard to really see if something is working for you.
Yeah, 1000%.
Any other mistakes that you see out in the world?
One that I've definitely fallen victim to is using convenience as an excuse to kind of fall off my health goals, because sometimes for work, I'm eating out all the time, or, you know, sometimes I do want to eat out for lunch, or it's just easier to get takeout dinner. And I think there needs to be a balance of not, I don't want to say cheat meals, but like indulgent meals. But also sometimes if it's just convenient, it should still be healthy. I feel like that's a mistake that sometimes I would make, is like, oh, anytime I'm ordering takeout, it's like, oh, I'm spending $20. I want the best option. I want like something super delicious, like super indulgent. And now I've gotten better of trying to stay on that 80-20 principle. Like, okay, 80% healthy, nourishing meals, 20% fun, whatever. So just because something is convenient doesn't necessarily mean that it needs to be like fully indulgent all the time.
I definitely relate to you on the convenience thing. When I lived across the street from a coffee shop in Omaha for 4 years, on way, way, way too many occasions, multiple days a week, I would get a pastry and an oat milk matcha for breakfast. Where's the protein? How much sugar did all of that have? Like, how was I like not, I don't know. I don't know how I was functioning with that. Like, that is not a good breakfast. But I just thought like, oh, you know, at least I'm eating breakfast and I'm on my way to work, or I'm going to go run errands and do stuff. Like, at least I'm getting something. But now I would like truly think that's dessert.
Yeah. And I don't want to come off as like having some sort of eating disorder or disordered eating. It's more of like, if you're going out a couple times a week or 3 or 4 times a week, is every single meal, does it need to be a pasta or like something celebratory, indulgent? Or because I feel like eating out for convenience sometimes, it just, for me personally, it leads me to that mentality of like, oh, I'm spending this much money. I want to get like, I just feel like sometimes when I go out to eat, if I'm spending so much money, I want to get something really special. But for example, last week I ate out a couple times, and one of the times I'm like, okay, let me get something balanced. Let me get something, nothing too crazy. Even though it was a really delicious restaurant, I'm like, I know that if I pick the more healthy option, that keeps me on track with 80-20. Even though traditionally when I go out to eat, it's for fun things and I like trying everything on the menu, but how can I just keep that balance, honestly, is what it is.
Oh, I so relate to thinking that if I spent money eating out, that I really wanted to make it worth that,
yes,
expense at the detriment of my body. And mm-hmm. It wasn't really until I moved to Tulum and I got more in sync with my body that I was like, okay, so I spent money, that means I'm going to do something worse for my body. Like, that, why does that have to correlate? If I want to do it occasionally, of course, like, that's fine. Indulge, like, don't deprive yourself. But I don't need to justify, just because I'm spending a little bit more money on a particular meal, that means it has to be so many calories or like such terrible ingredients or such a large portion just because I'm spending a few extra dollars.
Yes. And the example that's coming to my mind is last week there was a lunch for me and Connor. Connor had like a really bad day. I just was not feeling cooking. So we're like, let's go out to eat. We went to one of our favorite restaurants, Twisted Tree in St. Louis. And since that was just like a convenience meal for me, I forced myself to get like a steak with a salad, like something healthy, lots of veggies, nothing too crazy, even though I was like, ooh, a pulled pork sandwich with fries sounds so good. But it's like, this was a convenience factor. We're not going out to eat to celebrate. Like, we didn't do anything. It's not like, I don't want to say you have to earn your food, because that's not what I'm saying at all. But just making sure you don't fall into a pattern of, oh, because I'm out to eat, I can just get whatever I want. Because that is how I used to think. And I don't think that helped me keep an 80-20. Because that's just something I believe in, is 80% with your goals, 20% indulge. That did not help me keep 80-20 at all.
Piggybacking off of that, I used to also think, okay, yeah, if I'm eating out, somehow the rules don't apply.
Yes.
But then if I was at home and let's say I made a healthy meal, if I was still not satisfied or still feeling hungry, if I ate, say, seconds or had a snack after or wanted dessert at home after, I would feel so guilty about it. But then I started being like, okay, but if I would have eaten a meal out, why don't I feel as guilty about that? Like, for some reason, if I overdid it at home, it's because I felt like, well, I made this. I'm the one choosing. And at the restaurant, someone cooked it for me, so I'm just going to eat it. Like, I don't know what they put in it. Like, ha ha ha, out of sight, out of mind. Like, it wasn't my problem, even though I'm like, I'm still the one eating it. So like, it's still me who's affected. And I have tried to be more lenient with myself at home so that then I'm not as deprived and end up then wanting to eat something out that's like a whole pint of Ben and Jerry's or something. Because like, do you kind of get what I'm saying? Like, not be so black and white. Like, okay, if I'm at home, we're measuring every meal to a T, so that, and then I go out to eat and I consume 4 days of calories in one meal. Like, it's so easy for that to happen versus being like more gentle on myself at home as well, and being like, okay, if you want a few pieces of chocolate, like, just have it. Like, if you were at an ice cream parlor right now with your friends getting Cold Stone, you probably wouldn't think that much of it.
No. Yeah, I think with that too, I know that I have a sweet tooth. So instead of having, it's like the all or nothing. I feel like that's another big mistake people make, is like all or nothing. Only healthy foods at my house, nothing indulgent, nothing sweet or quote unquote unhealthy. But it's like, okay, no, you have to let yourself have some things, because if I had nothing sweet, like, I love keeping dark chocolate in my house. I think it's a very whole food indulgent treat. But if I did not have any sweets in my house, then I'd be like, oh, I want something sweet. Okay, now I'm going to go to Dairy Queen and get a freaking Blizzard, which is just way worse. And because I used to do that. I used to do that all the time, like, have no sweets in my house. I'm like, that's going to curb my sweet tooth. Then it's like, no, then I'm just going to go get a cupcake, like, or something that I could just indulge at home, have a date with peanut butter and chocolate chips and some salt on top. Having those ingredients and letting myself eat that kind of stuff and not being restrictive has helped me so much more than saying no sweets, no sugar whatsoever.
Yeah, same. I agree. And if we're trying to be sustainable with all of these things, I feel like that in the long run is a more sustainable mindset to have, because I'm like, yeah, you can deprive yourself for a little while, but eventually you're going to end up, like, the cravings are going to come and you're going to want whatever it is you're craving. Yeah. And okay, actually, this is a total pivot, but a mistake I made a revelation I've had recently is that there are many different types of eaters. There are people who like to eat volume amount. There's people who like to eat variety amount. There's people who like to eat a lot of small meals throughout the day, but have many meals. There's some people who like to have like a lot at once and feel like really full. So I think a mistake I made was not knowing like what type of eater I was, if that makes sense. Like, I love a lot of small bites. Like, if there are, I would rather have a meal that has like a bunch of small bites than a smaller portion that's like really, really dense and satisfying or something. Like, some of my favorite snacks would be like a whole bunch of strawberries, a bunch of blueberries, popcorn, like small bites. Like, I just think it's so fun. So for me, if there's one of something, even if it's really big, like one piece of toast that's like, say, 6 inches by 4 inches, like an oversized piece of toast, I would rather have 4 small little pieces of toast, because for some reason my brain doesn't think of the total like amount of inches or size. It wants more bites.
So like, what's the opposite of that to help you?
Well, no, it's just good for me to know, because I'm like, I would rather have a whole bunch of grapes. Like, I think it's so fun just like snack on a bunch of grapes than to have 5 chips. I'd rather have 50 grapes than 5 chips. Even if, like, if the calories are the same of something, I just want more bites.
Oh,
so
okay.
Knowing that, like, more bites is the type of eater I am, I'm not going to be as satisfied, say, from like one cupcake. I would rather have 10 chocolate chips than one cupcake, because to me it's about like the amount of bites, even if they're tiny bites.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I think, like you said, knowing the type of eater you are is pretty helpful. I know that I'm like a bottomless pit eater. Like, I could eat nonstop. But even past when I'm full. So, and I'm a fast eater. So those two combined, if I eat really fast and I eat like a whole big portion of something, I'm probably full, but I could like keep eating if I just keep refilling my plate. So like slowing down and trying to be way less distracted at my meals has helped me a lot, because I'm not worried about under eating. I'm definitely like, I just could eat past how full I am. So,
oh, same.
Yeah. Cause I love food. Food's so good.
I like variety too. So I would also rather have a meal that has like four different things in it than having all of one type. Like, cause I feel like it goes to the same classification. Cause then I'm like, I ate one thing and I'd rather be like, oh, I had four things, which I think is maybe better to have a wider nutrient base to have a colorful plate. But I just am learning about myself that I want more variety, more textures, more colors, and more bites. And so, and knowing that I want more bites, I know that if you put a bag of chips in front of me, like I'm going to want to eat the entire bag of chips. So instead of doing that, I'm like, cool, I'll just eat the entire carton of strawberries if I'm like just wanting to have like lots of small bites.
Yeah, it's not necessarily about the flavor for you. It's more of like what's kind of comparable, but whichever one has more, you're going to choose the one with more.
More bites. Yes. Yeah. And to where someone else might want like something really salty. Yes. Or something really sweet, or something spicy, or something more satiating. Mine is like the funness of the bites. So I think I'm kind of being silly with this, but maybe you guys can reflect on it and think about like, yeah, when you have a snack or a meal, what constitutes, oh, that was like so satisfying for me? Was it the flavors, the colors, the textures? Was it hot food or cold food? Because I love cold food. Like I don't like a lot of hot foods. Like it's so weird. If my food comes out hot, like a hot pizza, I have to let it sit there for like 10 minutes. I just, something about hot food, I don't really like it that much, but I could eat cold food all day long. And someone else might feel like not satisfied from cold food. They're like, no, I want something warm to fill me up. And like, I don't know.
Well, switching gears a little bit, I feel like one more big mistake that people make, and then we can kind of go into those like tried and true things that we believe are good nutrition advice. I feel like going back to the overcomplicating things, people can really overcomplicate meal prepping. I think, at least for me, when I was working in an office, the biggest hurdle for me eating healthy was not making a plan or not meal prepping. Because anytime I would bring a lunch to work, it was always healthy. It was definitely in line with my goals. But then the times where I wouldn't be prepared, I was more influenced to eat something more fun, like go to Shake Shack or get burgers and fries or something for lunch. So I don't think this needs to be overcomplicated at all. And this was a tip going back to our other physical wellness series episode, we had Sydney Adams on. We can link that as well. And she talked about this, that her biggest hack is just meal prepping the ingredients. Do not worry about meal prepping full meals. Just make the chicken in one container, and then just make the veggies in one container, and then just make some quinoa or rice in another container. And then when you're hungry, you just throw them all on a plate and heat them up for a balanced, healthy meal. And that has definitely been something I've been doing for the last couple of years. And for me, even that's better. I just got a Costco membership. Costco has amazing frozen vegetable selections, truly the best that I've seen at any grocery store, because I love frozen vegetables. I think it's just the easiest way to never have your veggies go expired. Because anytime I buy fresh vegetables, like half of them I don't end up using in time. Either I'm traveling or honestly just forget they're in there. And I can buy the exact same version frozen and just throw it on a pan with some olive oil and heat it up for the exact same way. So for me, now all I need to meal prep is a protein in some quinoa or rice. And then I have my veggies in the freezer. that is the biggest game changer for me and how I can consistently stay with my nutrition goals.
Okay. Taking what you said, and I'm not negating it because I do agree with the frozen vegetable thing, but I think you should also consider with nutrition what your hurdles are. Last week we talked about physical wellness hurdles. If one of your healthy eating hurdles is the cost, a mistake I made with trying to eat healthier over the last few years was buying too many pre-made things that were making my grocery bill insanely expensive. So anytime that you have something that's like processed, packaged, pre-done for you, it is going to be so much more expensive. Like take pineapple, for example. Those containers of pre-cut pineapple are legitimately like $12 versus a whole pineapple, which is like a fourth the price. For example, just for fun, I wanted to see this cost breakdown last week at the grocery store just to see, because they're the average person living in this county that's a true local makes $11 a day. And I would see them at the grocery store with so much produce in their cart. And I was trying to think like, okay, if these people are living on $11 a day, how are they doing it? And how are they getting so much food to feed their families? And so I was looking at their carts and I'm like, nothing is in a package. There's not a brand name on anything. Nothing has been prepared for them. They're going home and making everything themselves. So literally I bought some loose romaine, for lack of a better words, non-prepackaged romaine. And this bundle of romaine lettuce was like $1.40, enough to make like four salads that I, you know, washed it myself, cut it up myself. The same amount in a bag was $8. And so if one of your hurdles is convenience, then yes, you're probably going to want to go with the package options. Like if you're making good money and you just don't have time to prepare your meals, cut and wash them, whatever, then yes, I think do what you can to try to have as healthy of convenience meals as possible. But if you're limited on your budget and still want to buy a lot of fresh produce and whole ingredient foods, just try to buy the stuff that's not pre-done for you, because it's actually insane how much produce you can get for like $25 if you just cut and wash it yourself and then freeze it. Like I got so many bananas. I think I got 14 bananas because I know like I want a banana smoothie pretty much every day. Just buy them in bulk, open them all. Whenever they get to the right ripeness, I just cut them all up, put them in one container in the freezer. I bought broccoli, cauliflower, peppers, same. I just cut it all up myself, put it in containers, put it in the freezer.
Oh yeah, I do that with bananas too. But I actually have found, at least I think it depends on everyone where you live and stuff, but like the frozen have been cheaper for me. But I do agree, not the fresh fruit. I won't buy any of that. That's definitely where they gouge the prices. But I think there's something with like how they process frozen vegetables that sometimes it can be cheaper or the same price just to buy the frozen version. But don't quote me on that. But for me at least, and just saving money on not wasting anything has been major. Like I have no food waste now with my vegetables. Rarely do things go bad. So that's a big selling point for me too. But I think it does depend too. If you're buying like a stir fry mix veggie pack with the soy sauce or with the sauce, yes, they're going to upcharge you versus just like a frozen broccoli in a bag. That's like a dollar.
I totally see it. I think another part of that value for me is being like as close to zero waste as possible. Like I try to avoid having food that's in plastic, one, from making the plastic, and then two, I won't turn this into like projecting my sustainability views on you guys episode, but the plastic like leaches into your food. And so it freaks me out if it's just like sitting in plastic for like a long time. I'd rather just cut it up myself and have it in a glass bowl, but got to pick and choose your battles. Like I now at 30 years old, finally have the time to go to the grocery store, cut things, wash them myself, put them in glass. Like 10 years ago, I would have been like, just be thankful I'm eating a banana for a snack. Like,
yeah,
it's all a process. Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely something to consider too. But overall, how can you make things easier? Can you look at your routines, your habits, and even if you make a healthy meal and freeze it, I just love the freezer. I think the freezer is just favorite invention ever is the freezer, because make a double portion of a healthy meal. Like you said, throw it in a glass container, throw it in the freezer. I feel like there's just so many ways like that you can be utilizing. You can be smarter about being healthy. Switching gears, we want to go into some nutrition staples, just some things that are tried and true that everyone can incorporate to thrive in 2025.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've already said it 100 times on this episode, but focusing on whole foods, with those whole foods, We're thinking lean proteins, colorful produce, whole grains, healthy fats, and some gut-friendly foods. And yeah, just a reminder to keep it simple, balanced, and consistent. That's like, thinking of my grocery list, I'm just mostly, they always say, hang around the corners of the store. The middle is where you're going to find that very highly processed stuff. If you're on the outside edges, you're pretty much in the clear.
And something I've been trying to learn more about and get better at through cooking is how to make those staple foods more exciting. Like, how can you make avocado toast at home enjoyable? And I'm like having, it's like, ooh, we're going to do paprika today and a bunch of like different, you know, the seeds, like the everything but the bagel. Ooh, okay, today we're going to add an egg in there. Maybe we add some onion. Like, how can you make a very simple meal into something that's more elevated? And I really think it's like the spices, the presentation, the combination to make it feel like, oh, a restaurant would add this other stuff. They would present it nicely on a plate. So how can you kind of make your own cooking more elevated to feel more excited about it?
And the fresh herbs with that is major. I try now every time I go to the store to get one new fresh herb. It's like 2 weeks ago it was dill. Last week it was basil. I agree. That totally elevates a home meal.
Yeah, because otherwise it's like if you're just doing like a plain potato, like, yeah, you're probably going to be bored and uninspired. But
throw in some rosemary.
Juice it up.
Fresh rosemary. That'd be delish.
Yeah, some nice butter, maybe like sprinkle of cheese. I don't know. Add some broccoli on the side, pepper it up. And then presentation of the food at home, I feel like is kind of tied to that. I love having everything where I can see it in the glass jars. Because if I go into the kitchen and something's in my little pantry cupboard thing, it's like out of sight, out of mind to me. But if it's on my counter in the glass containers and I can see it, I'm going to choose it and I'm going to build a meal around it. Same like in the fridge. Like if it's cut up and it's ready and it's organized and it's clean, I'm like, oh, I have this. But if something is like tucked away in the back of the fridge, it's dead to me.
Yeah.
So I try to buy only like two bags, like two reusable bags of groceries at a time so that when I bought them, I was in the mood for them. And I'll actually eat them over the next couple of days. Because I found for myself, if I bought too many groceries at a time, like I was just not into it by the end of it.
I think another tried and true staple that we've already said, but prioritizing protein. There's a huge protein push nowadays, and that's a good thing. I think it's good advice. Protein has been proven to be essential for muscle health. So if you're lifting or doing any type of strength workout, you absolutely need to prioritize protein so that you can build those muscles. And then also just satiating your hunger. They say protein is the biggest way to satiate hunger, one of the biggest ways, and just keeping your metabolism functioning. I listened to an amazing podcast episode from Diary of CEO with an expert in female specific nutrition, and she talked all about protein. And a great tip from her that I wanted to share with you guys was that she said for women, before working out, you need to have some protein in your system, which I thought was really fascinating because I feel like I was always taught to work out on a fasted stomach, you know, just wake up, go work out, and then eat. But she said if you are lifting in the morning, to have 15 grams of protein. And then if you're doing lifting and or cardio together, or just cardio, you need 15 grams of protein and 30 grams of carbs. So I thought that was very interesting because she said you just basically don't want to burn from your wrong reserve. And by eating some protein and possibly some carbs before you work out, you're going to ensure that you're burning from the right energy source. And if you're like, what is a 15 gram protein breakfast with 30 grams of carbs? That would be maybe like a peanut butter toast with banana, maybe like a protein smoothie, maybe some Greek yogurt with some granola on top, some berries. You can look up on Pinterest or Google some other examples, but I thought that was very interesting.
The only reason I know that is because my track coach in high school was like adamant before we would race or practice. Like she would make us eat 30 minutes before. It was like a rule. Like we had to have our lunch boxes basically for everything. And she was always like drilling that in. And then Clay has kind of always the same, like eat and then move your body because then you're like using the fuel for something, like rather than going and then moving your body and then having to like replenish, like only relying on that, trying to flip it and be like, okay, I'm going to go do this thing. What fuel do I need to put in my body to go achieve that? And something that I've been doing to get more protein is putting a scoop of protein powder into my Greek yogurt. It is the most delicious combination. Like it turns it into this like whipped texture that is just delicious. I could see going either way, either you love it or you hate it, but it's so satisfying. Just those two ingredients, like not even blending into a smoothie, literally scoop into the yogurt, stirring it up. It's just so yummy, especially if it's like a chocolate protein powder, you know?
Along the same lines, this might repulse some people or might sound appetizing. Cottage cheese, I love for getting in protein. I'll literally mix a scoop of vanilla protein powder with cottage cheese and then put blueberries on top. It is delicious. Do not let your mind convince you that it sounds gross. No, it is absolutely delicious. So good. So definitely try that out if you need like it, because cottage cheese already has so much protein in it. So plus that scoop of protein powder, it's so delicious.
I've also been taking rice cakes and putting yogurt onto the rice cakes and then the fruit. That's been very delicious. I made a fresh batch of my protein bites yesterday. They're so easy. All of the ingredients are like dry staple pantry ingredients. So I can basically make them at any point in time. It's like chia seeds, cacao nibs, coconut flakes, maybe a little vanilla, maybe a little sugar and salt if you want to, the protein powder, rolled oats. I don't even have any recipe that I follow or like measurements. I just keep adding whatever I have into a bowl until the consistency is right, make it into a ball with my hand and put it in the fridge.
Amazing. Last thing I'll say on protein. I feel like I've been hearing this everywhere of getting 30 grams of protein within 30 minutes of waking up. That was coined by Tim Ferriss, the author of The 4-Hour Body. But in the last year, I've heard that advice on repeat everywhere. And I think that's a good rule too. If you're trying to figure out how you can incorporate more protein into your lifestyle, 30 grams within 30 minutes of waking up could be a helpful tool for you.
Going out of order, because I'm going to say a mistake I made, but I was overwhelmed by getting the amount of protein I needed because I was like, how am I going to get to that many grams? And I'm never going to be one to track my meals every single day, but I just got MyFitnessPal, tracked my food for like a week, and that gave me such a better idea of how to get to that number and what I would eat in a day to be like, oh, I only just like need one more thing here, one more thing there to make those small adjustments, because I was like overwhelmed. Like, how am I going to get so much protein as someone who's like newly eating meat? Like that just felt like such a big number. And so if you even just track your meals for a couple of days to have a better understanding of how much protein, carbs, and fats are in certain foods, I think that that could provide more reassurance as well.
Yeah, I definitely had a MyFitnessPal phase last year of just for a week. You're right, because you just need an understanding of what an 8-ounce steak, how much protein that is, or how much protein's in an egg. Okay, 6 grams typically. So I agree. Getting that knowledge can really help you because it is hard. It's like, what does 30 grams of protein look like as breakfast? For me, I have these like breakfast sausages. 4 of them is 16 grams. So that's 16. And then 2 eggs is 12. That's 28. I would do one more egg. That's what?
Or
33.
A spoonful of cottage cheese, a little bit of Greek yogurt.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, rapid fire, final staples. Guys, we cannot forget about fiber. I feel like fiber has been left out of the conversation. I literally saw a TikTok about this a couple months ago from someone who does nutrition. And she was like, guys, I'm seeing so many people with digestive issues, IBS issues, like fiber is your best friend. So do not forget to eat fiber with all these nutrition advice, all these nutrition fads. Fiber looks like fruit.
If we're going to be talking about fiber, we have to talk about drinking more water as well.
Yes.
And yeah. I think that always gets left out of the fiber conversation. It's like,
yeah, the last bullet we have on here is with fiber, it has to work with water. Fiber can't work if it doesn't have enough fluids to process it.
Yeah, without getting too graphic, just like think about what that means.
Yeah.
You need more viscosity to get things going.
Yeah. So if you're like, what is fiber? I struggle too. Sometimes I'm like, what are fiber-rich foods? Berries, apples with skin, pears, broccoli, carrots, leafy greens, oats, quinoa, brown rice, lentils, black beans, chickpeas, chia seeds, flax seeds, pumpkin seeds, and aim for about 25 to 30 grams per day. So yeah, don't forget about our little friend fiber. And like we said, make sure you're drinking lots of water.
And of course, hydration is also very important, not just for the fiber, but a myriad of other things. And I want to highlight that the solution is not to just drink more water. I made a post on Lemonade this week. I'll link it in the show notes. Hydration hacks of how to actually get more hydrated, not just drinking more water. There's actually a lot to it. And that's a whole nother thing that can be overwhelming. But if you're up for learning more about water, There's a lot to learn.
And I'll shout out Healthily, who we had in the podcast. She posts a lot about hydration versus just drinking a lot of water. So we can link her page as well. I feel like that's something that she covers a lot and has helped me understand more. And then a final rapid fire tip, consistency over perfection. You do not need to have perfect days. Again, I'm a firm believer in 80-20, which is 80% healthy choices, and then allow flexibility for that other 20%. And just a reminder, it is about what you do most of the time that shapes your health, not just a one-off day. Any final thoughts? Any other nutrition podcast episodes or books or people that you feel like you want to plug, or any other resources for how other people can improve their nutrition?
Two things that I'll just rapid fire. We said don't forget about fiber. Don't forget about fermented foods. And then two, don't forget how many calories are in a lot of beverages, especially the morning coffee, afternoon coffee, sweet treats. Like if you recognize how many calories and sugar is in those, and if you thought like, okay, I could have this entire meal or just this one extra coffee, I think it's, oh my God, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
You're so right. Starbucks, matcha, having like 53 grams of sugar, like so many hidden calories and drinks that you think are healthy.
Yeah, and it's just sneaky, and it can be discouraging if you think that you're doing a lot of the right things, and then you're like, oh, I'm just gonna have like an afternoon pick-me-up, like how I literally said at about Archetype across the street. Like I would literally get an oat milk matcha every day, and it like never considered how much was in that. Like basically it was like as much as a meal, and I'm like, I would way rather actually have another meal and have maybe matcha with like an organic coconut water at home or organic coconut milk at home that has like half the amount of the processed oatly shit that's like they're using at, you know, mainstream coffee shops. Like you can make a lot of the things at home with alternatives that are way, way, way better. So it's not like I still love having matcha. I still love my sweet treats, but now I can appreciate them more when I do have them, of being like, oh, this is a treat, and not like, oh, this is just something I have every single day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, amazing. Well, I already linked a couple podcast episodes in the show notes. Also, really quick, if you guys want, we are going to put together a little PDF of some grocery store staples that will help you thrive in 2025, as well as some mindful eating practices. That is up on our website right now. It is a free digital download, just a little cheat sheet to help you think about maybe that next time you're grocery shopping, what are some good staples that you can put in your cart, or just some good practices to kind of help us all thrive. And again, we've said this before, this is us reteaching ourselves how to thrive as well. One of the mindful eating practices that we have on that digital download is eating without distractions. I used to be so good at this, but now I've kind of fallen into that habit of putting on a YouTube video or watching some reality TV while I eat. And what happens? Then I just overeat. I fill my plate 2, 3, 4 more times. I'm already full after the first serving. So we put that together so you guys can have that. You just put in your email and then that'll be sent to your inbox. But yeah, I think this was a great episode. Again, hope you guys know that this is not professional advice, just taking what we've learned from what's worked for us, what hasn't worked for us, and sharing it with you guys.
Yeah, and no judgment at all either. I've had so many ups and downs with my nutrition journey, and I'm sure I'll continue to have more ups and downs. And it is a lifelong practice to figure out what your body wants, needs, how it responds during different phases of your life, during different cycles. And so have grace with yourself, because to make sustainable changes in the long run, you have to do something that like you enjoy and is going to last the test of time.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys so much for being here and for listening to another episode of Already Friends.
We'll catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.